Welcome to the Property Profits Podcast. My name is Travis Wells, and I will be your host every single week. It is my job to bring on a specialist in every part of real estate, whether that be retail, big commercial, luxury, flipping, land, you name it. I cannot wait to introduce you to these people because there are masters at their craft out there. At the end of each podcast, my mastermind group will come on and Q&A with these people and ask real-time, real-life questions so that we can all learn. I cannot wait to see you on my podcast.
Thank you so much for coming on, bro. I've been looking forward to this. For people that are hiding under a rock these days, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Justin Colby. I've been in the real estate space since 2007. Been flipping homes since then. I've done well over 2,600 deals since 2007. I'm actively, really very active in the real estate space. I'm buying 2 to 5 single family homes a week. I'm wholesaling 5 to 15 properties a month. And I just bought 4 different apartments. I bought a 584 door apartment in Houston, Texas. And I bought 3 other apartments in Birmingham, Alabama. And I have an incredible community at the Science of Flipping, if you look that up, where I educate people on how to get their very first deal so that they can kind of create the life that they're trying to do, whether it's wholesale, fix and flip, or buy and hold.
So that is fantastic. That's badass. That is crazy and mind blowing. How do people, not saying how do they get the A to Z plus plus, but how do they get started to even get on that path? Like how'd you get started?
Yeah. So listen, I don't want everyone to go my road, right? My road is pretty extreme. I lost everything financially back in 06, 07. My house was taken to foreclosure. The repo man took my car. I was living on a couch. So not everyone has to go through that type of extreme, hopefully. But I will give everyone my 5 pillars of success. And from there, it should give you a perfect path of what to do. And so the first pillar of success is going to be decide what you want and decide who you need to be to get it. Okay. So the first pillar is decide who you want and who you need to be to get what you want. That is hard. That is not something you listen to this podcast and you're like, oh, I want $1 million. Like that is not the answer, right? You need to really decide what you want. And because when you do, nothing will be able to stop you. Because you will be able to decide who you need to be to get it. And we all have to make sacrifices. So that's why you need to make a decision on what you actually want, not just flippantly create an answer of like, I want $1 million, right? Because you're going to have to create sacrifices. Like if you want to be super fit, then you're going to eat bland ass food on a very strict diet and it's going to suck, right? But you've made a decision on what you want. Now you have to be, you know, an eater that eats boring ass food, right? So number 2. Is you need to commit to what you want. That's why I don't want people to listen to this or watch this and say, okay, I'm deciding I want to do this thing and it has no real meaning, because then you need to commit, because it's going to be tough. If we use the example of super fit, boring boiled chicken is boring. It sucks. And after you eat enough of it, you might get away for it for a week, but after a week, you're going to hate boiled chicken. So you have to commit to eating boiled chicken. Funny analogy, but I'm making it up on the spot, right? But you know, you need to commit. Number 3 is you need to take massive action. Wrong action, incorrect action, dumb action, fuck it up a lot, but take massive action, because you will learn. You will learn what to do, and most importantly, you will learn what not to do. Number 4 is you are going to have to be incredibly out of your comfort zone. Be okay with it. I use an analogy. When you are learning how to swim, because I have young children, when you're learning how to ride a bike, when you're learning how to walk, all of it is incredibly uncomfortable. And you fall down and you fail and you gulp water and you choke and you crash and you do that shit over and over and over and over and over again as a kid. So kids live in a zone of being uncomfortable and they keep going anyways. Somewhere in our life as adults, we get stopped and we don't want to be uncomfortable anymore. And a lot of it has to do with the outward societal judgment of you or what you think they're judging. I don't want to go down that path right now, but that is where it comes from. So go back to being a kid, get uncomfortable, be okay with it. And number 5, and probably the most important part, which will be remove your time expectation on the result you're trying to achieve. And I say that because everyone I've ever talked to, who puts a strict time expectation on when they're going to achieve the thing. So for example, I teach a lot of newer investors how to get their first deal. So I want to get a deal in 30 days. And they're actually doing the right things. They're actually doing it. They decided, they committed, they're taking action, they're uncomfortable, they're doing it. But for one reason or another, it doesn't happen in 30 days. Well, now they mentally have fucked themselves. They're cycled, oh, this doesn't work. Oh, the market. Oh, the interest rates. Oh, the city. Oh, the bleh. And now they create excuses and they tap themselves out before they even start. But if you were to say the same thing, say, I'm going to go get my first deal inside the fastest amount of time I possibly can, as soon as I possibly can, I'm going to work the hardest I possibly can, do it as fast as I can, then your fastest is your fastest. And you won't psychologically check yourself out. And so to get to where you want to go, you need to have those five levels, those five principles. I really do believe it. I've run that past every famous person I've ever interviewed, from Brad Lee, Grant Cardone, Garrett J. White, Sean Witt. Everyone agrees that those are very important in all levels of success.
Man, that's huge. And, you know, I just feel the passion behind what you're saying. Like, I can tell you genuinely care. You genuinely train people to do these things. What is the biggest pitfall you see besides them, you know, wanting it too fast, you know, like just not enjoying the process? Is that what you're saying in a nutshell?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls, but you kind of mentioned probably the biggest one is they want it right now. The microwave economy is so real. And especially for younger individuals, right? I'm 42. I don't know how old you are, but like I have some patience, right? And I don't know where parenting dropped the ball on teaching kids patience, but it's happened because I see people too quickly quit on what they say they decided what they want. I decided I want to be a real estate investor and make $1 million. I've decided I'm going to do, and 30, 60, 90 days are like, oh, I fucking quit. This sucks. Like, yeah, but you haven't even really started. Right? Like, what are you doing? And I don't know what's happened, but our world right now is all about immediate gratification. I do know what's happened, but we don't have to go in on this podcast. But, you know, and I think everyone needs to realize to create anything great takes time, right? Yeah. And even to go get your first check takes time. And so again, I'll reference as we're kids, like it takes time to learn how to swim, it takes time to learn how to walk and ride bikes. But nowadays, people watching YouTube and, you know, listening to podcasts, and I have both of those, right? I get it. People want it now. They just have this artificial, I should have this. And by the way, entitlement is another thing. Justin, I'm doing what you tell me to do. I should have it. No. Now you sound like you're entitled, like you just deserve it because you're doing the work, right? And so I think that needs to be removed. That is the biggest challenge right now. There's other challenges, there's no doubt. But I think right now it's, if people actually, I call it stamina, right? Used in work for this case, is you need to have stamina in business. You need to have stamina in marketing. You need to have stamina in your desire for your goal. Because again, if you look at any of the greats, like when I mean greats, like Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, like if you look at their trajectory, and I have this on a presentation I do when I go and speak on stages, it took like 20 years for Warren Buffett to make $1 million. 20. It took him to be 56 years old to reach his first billion. Everyone on here, I'm almost guaranteeing, is not 56 years old, nor have they done one thing since they were 19 years old, which is what Warren Buffett did. He started at 19. And it took them 36 years, 37 to hit $1 billion. There's no one on here has done one thing for 37 years, right? But they want to be the billionaire. And I just think it's improper expectations. It's improper understanding of what it actually takes to be great.
Yeah, that's huge. And I like how you related it to fitness too. You know, they're all this stuff's the same. It's all core.
Oh, yeah.
Consistency over.
Yeah, time. You see those guys or girls on the magazines, right? They're ripped, they're shredded, they're fucking. A buddy of mine, Garrett J. White, I don't know if you know him, but like he just went through this massive physical transformation, right? Dude, it's an ass beating. He will tell you, I know it, right? Sean Whalen, a friend of mine, like fucking got jacked a year and a half ago. I'm like, what are you doing different? He's like, I'm lifting fucking heavy, I'm eating, right? Like, but it's not easy. It's not like puppy dogs and rainbows, right? And so the fitness industry is just as brutal as businesses to get to your body to the place you want it, right?
What do you think people should avoid? You know, you said people don't have to go down your road, but sometimes taking massive action, you stumble, right? Crap happens. Totally. Figure it out. But what could they avoid taking? They're taking massive action. They don't know what the hell they're going to do. They're taking it. They got the vision and they're going to roll. But like, what could they avoid? Maybe that you did that you think that they could avoid, I guess.
Listen, I think, and I hate to harp on it like this, but like try to avoid, well, depends on how old people are, right? Like if a 21-year-old is listening to this, then go around and try a bunch of shit. Figure out what you like, what you don't like. Just go around. Like that's the Gary V model. Like you're young, figure out what you even enjoy. Like what creates passion? What lights you up? Like Dan Martell, he's going to be on my podcast. He has an incredible podcast himself, multi books and bestseller and all this stuff. And he talks about what lights you up, right? And then you connect what lights you up with what generates revenue. And if you can align yourself with that, look at that. It's a party already. If you can align yourself with that, that's everything, right? And respectfully, not everyone needs a lot of money to light them up. I just happen to be more so of a hard pusher, A-type personality, entrepreneur, capitalist person. And I want to live a fucking awesome life. And that takes a lot of money to do, frankly. And I know some West Coasters are probably, oh, you don't, you know, you can love each other and it's awesome. But when you're loving each other on the beach of Fiji in a $4,000 a night villa, it's a lot fun, a lot more fun to love each other there, right? So for me, you know, it depends on when you're listening to this, but figure out what actually lights you up, right? I will never retire from real estate. My wife just asked me this, like at the end of last year, I was pushing really hard. And she's like, man, when are you going to like, you know, we're good. Like, when are you going to slow it down? I'm like, I don't think that's in me, right? Like, I don't know. In 20 years, maybe, I don't know. But I love real estate. And I'm even more passionate about impacting others' lives. And that's why my podcast, I believe, have done so well. Is because just to be able to deliver impact on people's lives and help them, just like you are, grow, expand. You know, my buddy Kent Clothier, who you know, he talks about how once your mind expands, it can never contract. So if I can help others expand their mind, understand what is possible, what is out there, but then at the same time realize, I had a conversation yesterday. This guy is a high level thinker, but he was giving me some excuses and I didn't like it. And I said, let me fucking be raw with you. Every minute you're diddle fucking around with this little thing over here is a minute you're taking away from your three children. So when it's time for you to die, and that's morbid as fuck for me to say, but when it is time, are you going to worry about this thing or that 1 minute that you took away from the three children that you could be playing with? Because that is what you're giving up. So if you aren't doing something that lights you up, quit it right now, move on, be done. Because every minute that you're not playing with your children is a minute you are quite literally wasting your life.
That's huge. I mean, that is freaking huge. If anybody got anything out of any of this, that is huge, man. And I'm glad you confronted that head on with that person, and that's your personality type. I like how you communicate, man. It's straight to the point. You know, we'll get a little technical because I got you on here, and I gotta
take a
few people for you, man. How are you running? How have you built such a huge wholesaling business? And I know you have a lot of different businesses, but let's talk wholesaling for a minute.
Yeah.
How'd you start it? How'd you build it? How'd you sustain it? You know, all that kind of thing.
The key, there's a couple of keys, but I'll give you like being able to be adaptable is huge, right? So I started in 2007. Well, the economy in the world is a lot different today than it was in 2007, right? There was a massive financial, you know, recession in 2007. And for the last essentially 12 straight years, the real estate market, the economy has been on the upswing. Right. Still to this day, even when COVID happened, took a little bump and then right back up. Right. And so being able to adapt to conditions. Right. So now we went through this interest rate, you know, stuff rising and being able to adapt. And but the other thing is adapting and having different iterations. Right. Is being willing and open to expanding what my business looks like. In the shape it and form it is today doesn't always mean it will be in the same shape and form next year, the year after, or whatever. And so those two things really has created my longevity. You know, I've started in 2007, right? There's a lot of people that go out of business in the first month, let alone 16 years. So, you know, being able to adapt, I'll give you a great example. I was doing, I spent the better part of a decade in Phoenix building my business. So we used to buy from the courthouse auctions. We used to make offers with realtors. We used to buy from wholesalers. We did a bunch of direct mail. I've had all these different iterations of how this business has looked. I used to do more fix and flipping than I did wholesaling. Then I cut out fix and flipping. I did wholesaling. Now I do it all. So in my coaching program, The Science of Flipping, I teach you should be doing all of it. You shouldn't just only wholesale. You shouldn't just only fix and flip. You shouldn't just only buy and hold. You should be doing all of them. Right? That is what I call an expert or professional real estate investor. And you want to be every tool in the tool belt, not a hammer. So unfortunately, people only focus on wholesaling because they have little to no risk. I get it. I still love wholesaling. It's great. I don't have to deal with contractors. But then you're a hammer and then everything looks like a nail, right? If you're a tool belt, you can, whatever is coming at you, whether it's a nail, a screw, a bolt, right? Whatever it is, you can handle it, right? Because you have the tool to handle it. And so my secret of success is being adaptable and then in iterating relative to what the market is giving me, right? Yeah. If it's a good time to be buying and holding because interest rates are 3%, then I want to be more buying and holding, right? I want to buy everything I can. Right now, we're in this weird interest rate thing where something might be an okay rental, but still a pretty good flip. Well, I'm going to buy it. And then ultimately, I'll make a decision when it's time to make that decision. So adapting. The last thing I'll say is I'm speaking in giving a keynote to, you know, roughly 300 really successful entrepreneurs, mostly in the real estate space. But people is what I'm going to give my keynote on. The difference between doing something good and getting good results and doing something great and getting great results is people. Is your intention around developing, creating, nurturing relationships will take you from good to great. And people underestimate that, right? They think you just need to spend a lot of money and you need to have the right technology and all this other stuff. It's people. Go ask any of the biggest brands in this world. They will give a lot of kudos to their C-suite and their people under them. It is always about people.
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to bring up was human capital, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was you when we were talking one time, maybe in investors. But anyway, I think you said you had a bunch of college kids making calls or something.
I did, down in Phoenix.
So how'd that look? Like, how'd you find them? How'd you get them on the phones? Did you do this and make sure they were high Ds? Did you just say, get on the phone and get your leads?
It was funny. I mean, it was a fun, interesting learning curve going straight college kids. Cause so we put out normal ads, you know, part-time job available, $20 an hour, college kids, that's a lot of money, especially 6 years ago. You know, and so they could go to school and then they come work here, bro. You know, cold calling is kind of boring, right? Cause not a lot of people pick up. Like it's just the phone rings and you have a triple line dialer and it's ringing until someone picks up. These kids were playing Fortnite. Right. There's 15 kids all playing Fortnite together. And then someone picks up, hold on, mutes everybody. Hey, Mr. Seller, my name's so-and-so. Right. Like they're just having a good time. Not that this was allowed, but like, you know, they would enjoy themselves with substances and shit like that, you know, and come into work and you're like, yeah. But they would do their job. Right. And so where I found them was Craigslist and Indeed. And I gave them an opportunity and literally someone reached out to me at the end of last year that used to be on that call floor. Like, man, you sparked something inside of me. I've been doing real estate ever since I left you. And, you know, this is incredible. And thank you for giving me an opportunity. But that's what it's about, right? And is that kind of thing. You never know the trajectory you can help someone on by just giving them an opportunity, right? And now this guy's a lifer. And I had a call yesterday with a guy who saw me speak years ago in Phoenix. And like his entire life changed. He's like, yeah, I married this girl and you know, her brother. And I'm like, bro, good for you. And now he's got this big rental portfolio and you're like, man, just because I gave him the light, the switch, the opportunity, they can go. And people is amazing. People is everything. It's what it's all about.
Yeah. And the churn rate on those kind of reps was probably pretty high too, right?
Oh yeah. 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 For sure.
One out of, you know,
Yeah. I mean, we would usually, keep about 20 people in the office at a time, right? So if one or two would go, I mean, we were interviewing basically every day, essentially, right? And, you know, then do group training, and those that made it, and those that didn't go, right? And they usually would give themselves about 30 days. And if they didn't get much traction within 30 days, they'd be, oh, this sucks. I'm like, all right, you know, it is what it is, but I gave them an opportunity.
Man, yeah, and congratulations on the podcast. Congratulations on all your success. I really appreciate you doing this today. Hey, what last question before we do a little Q&A with Nicole here. What would you, if anything, have done differently? The only reason I ask this question, I like to preface with this, is because you are so experienced, and I doubt you'd probably be like, I would love where I'm at. Right. But just if you could save somebody out there some little grief.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they need it. But, you know,
It's interesting because even my biggest losses, like I told you guys on stage, I've lost seven figures in a development play. And so it could have been easy. My answer could easily be I would have not done that.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is that you just learn so much from your mistakes. Right. And I was on someone else's podcast. They asked me, what is the thing you've what was the best deal you did was their question.
Yeah.
And I actually mentioned it was the deals I've lost the most money on because it was what actually helped me learn the most. When you make money and it's easy, you don't learn anything. And it actually hurts you because you keep going, believing your own bullshit because it's just working. Right. And so you don't even know what's working. You don't know what is actually working. It is just working. And so it's when you take those lumps that you actually learn. So, you know, if I can help anyone miss some potholes that I hit, right? I would tell everyone to, again, be diverse, wholesale, fix and flip, buy and hold. Be very prudent when it comes to fix and flipping. You know, let's just say a contractor says it should be done in 3 months, figure it's going to take him six. Let's just say he gives you a budget of 50 grand, figure 65 grand, right? Like be prudent when it comes to flipping. That way it's very easy for you to still say, okay, it's still a deal. And if the contractor is right and on budget, even better of a deal. Right. And I would say start today. Like one of my bigger mistakes, which is probably one that I wish I didn't make, was I didn't start buying rentals fast enough. Right. So it took me about a decade to start buying rentals. So I was wholesaling, fixing, flipping. So I was that guy living a great life, making a bunch of money, popping bottles in the club, going to Vegas every weekend. That thing, that was me. But I wish at least I was buying one rental a year, like one, you know. So start thinking financially. Start thinking, how do I stop paying the IRS taxes? Like, what do I need to do? Buy real estate. How do I accumulate wealth? How do I get more bankability is what I call it, right? Being bankable while having equity in real estate. Start thinking more financially than just trying to make money. Start really building yourself up as like a real business owner. And that would help a lot.
I love that. And I like how you said have all the tools because I was the opposite. I bought a ton of rentals and then I was like, crap, I actually got to make money because, you know, you don't make a ton on rentals, you know?
No. And then a roof goes out and you're like, damn, what am I going to do with this $20,000 roof? Right. Yeah. Like, how am I going to pay that damn thing? So you got to sell a rental just so you can get the equity out to pay the roof on this other rent. Like, so again, a lot of people, you know, here's something interesting. A lot of people go out and they buy rentals because they read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the Purple Bible. Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you trying. Just don't make it your only thing because rentals are expensive, right? They may cash you $200, $300, $400 a month in the long term. If you're doing short term, the numbers can be different, but they're also expensive to operate, right? And people don't understand that. The reality, until you get to scale, let's call it 100 doors or more, fucking rentals suck, period. Yeah. Like they don't really make you that much money, right? If any at all, because if you have 40 doors and two roofs go out and an AC goes out, you're down 60 grand. That could be your whole profit for the quarter. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, so my point being is until you get to scale, rentals aren't that cool.
Oh yeah. All right, Nicole, what you got?
Hey, nice to meet you. I like a lot of what you're saying. I guess my question is, since you work with so many people that are newer, where do you tell the new people to start with capital if they don't have their own?
So you don't need capital for real estate, right? And that's where wholesaling comes in, is as long as you find a seller and a buyer, you're just assigning a contract. So I always would tell someone, go try to get one or two or three wholesale deals done. You don't need to build a wholesale business, but do that because it creates confidence, creates certainty, and you don't need any of your own money, right? Now, when it comes to raising money, because you don't need any of your own money to buy flips or you don't need any of your money to buy rentals, I would tell anyone, never use your own money. I preach that. I teach it. Never. And the reason being is kind of what we were just talking about with Travis, is like you only have so much money and then you're tapped out. So raising money is a skill set in and of itself. And I think I put Travis through this, and I hopefully he did it, is I have a very ninja way, which I won't say on this episode, on people being able to raise money through your network. Again, people. And it is very, very simple, but you would be shocked to know how much money is sitting on the sidelines, not doing anything, because people don't know what to do with it. They don't believe in the stock market. They don't want to do bonds. They're like, I don't really know what to do. I don't want to lose it. So I'm just going to keep it, right? And so if you just go out talking about looking for deals, looking for capital, you know, not to get too California woo-woo, but like putting that energy out there just by talking about what you're doing, the energy will come back to you. And there's a lot of money out there.
That's huge.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ethan, for coming on. Where can people find you? Guys, gals, top real estate podcast, one of them in the country. But anyway, where can they find you? All that stuff.
Yeah, I think the best place for information is if you go to my Instagram, The Justin Colby. I give away a ton of great information. But another great place, if you're more of a YouTuber, a lot of downloads, justincolby.tv. I put out 3 to 5 episodes every week. So justincolby.tv.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the time, brother. Great seeing you again. And let's kick some ass this weekend and next week.
Let's go do it, dude. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Later, bud.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please refer a friend. It would mean the world to me. And also, if you'd like to learn more about real estate investing, go to www.exclusivehousinginvestors.com. If you're interested in joining the mastermind group, email me at travis@exclusivehousingtexas.com.